Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Now, I hope every week as you listen to the show, number one, you feel my passion about helping you navigate change and whatever that means to you, whether you're choosing a change in life or change has been thrust upon you, need I say COVID, right? What are those challenges that you're facing? And I just hope my guests and myself provide you some tips, strategies, ideas, little things that you can implement. You know, I'm all about action. So after the show, hopefully you take some of the tips that we share today and put them into action. Results is where life lives, right? Where magic happens. Now, to help you on this road of change and to help you navigate, of course, I have a tool for you right out of the gate. It's my communication style assessment. It gives you your superpowers. We always want to come from building on strength, but it also provides your blind spots, because sometimes the blind spots is where we shoot ourselves in the foot and derail our whole path to change. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA for communication style assessment. So whitmanassoc.com/CSA. And I hope that little tidbit or those two pieces of information help you navigate change. Last thing, of course, I ask so much from you guys, but my last request is just please subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode. And also, if you rate and review it, that means so much to me. And I just love reading the love notes from you guys. And as always, so appreciated. And I just, you know, in gratitude that I feel your love. So my motivational quote today, of course, I have to start with that, is by Dale Carnegie. And Dale says, inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. If you want to conquer fear, do not sit home and think about it. Go out and get busy. So think back in your life where you felt absolutely powerful and confident. Just think of that, about that for a minute. How does that make you feel inside, right? It makes us feel energized and happy and full. Now pause for a minute and think of a time maybe when you didn't feel as complete or maybe felt this loss and your level of confidence maybe went down the tubes. Life has its ups and downs, right? So how does that make you feel when you think of those low vibrational times? And sometimes the life events, I don't know, I find sometimes it makes us feel lost. So what do we do when this happens? Well, of course, I have an amazing guest today, and she's going to share her journey and how she has transformed her life. She's high energy, wonderful energy, absolute lovely, and I know she will inspire you to take action in your life. So my guest is Julie Mann. Now, Julie has been an actor for over 40 years. She does not look that old. And a life coach and an EFT practitioner for more than 20. She uses her skills to help boost her clients' confidence so that they can feel good about themselves. 10 years ago, Julie started a health and wellness business and loves helping men and women live healthy, happy, sustainable lives. So please help me welcome my lovely, wonderful friend, Julie. Hello, Julie.
Hello. Thank you for that amazing welcome, Connie.
Yes. And, you know, we have a love fest. Julie met me through, I spoke at some event here in the U.S. Julie was on Connects. She stalked me for a little bit on LinkedIn and Facebook. And then we just became fast friends, and we've never met in person. But of course, that's how the digital realm works these days, right? So, all right. First question, Jewel. Is it glamorous? Is it a glamorous life? You know, we all think actor and actress and the red carpet and all of that fancy pants stuff. Is it fancy and glamorous?
No. I think you're right. Seeing the red carpet and those glamorous outfits and those beautiful people, you know, and seeing the end result, which is the film, the production, or sure, the theatre piece, you know, that can be glamorous. And it's possible, of course, for actors to play glamorous parts. But the day-to-day working of an actor is not like that. It's a job. So much as I love it, I would never, ever describe it as glamorous. So if you think about a film, you know, it takes, to make a film, sometimes it takes a whole year, maybe more, to make a film. So it takes a long time to record and get it right. So that means that actors have to have early mornings, late nights. They have to be ready to go whenever the director says, you know, it's time to go. So also it means traveling away from home, living out of a suitcase. You have to learn lines, you know, you have to have a good memory. And then sometimes, last minute, they make changes. And sometimes you can be doing a great part, but the film's too long and you end up on the cutting room floor after all of that. So yes, we see the glamour and glitz from the outside, but actually the day-to-day is work. It is work and it takes commitment. And of course, no actor that I know, and not even any actor who is famous and works a lot now, has always worked. There are periods of unemployment. So what do you do when you're unemployed? You know, there's a lack of money. Maybe you get some job in a restaurant, waiting tables, you know, and kind of living for the next job. So it's very much hit and miss. You have to put up with rejection.
Sure.
If you don't look right, or you don't sound right, or you don't fit with the other casting, you know, you're not going to get the role. And you never hear why you don't get the role. So you have to be used to people saying no to you and keeping going. And that's why many people come out of college and they're, you know, full of hope and, you know, their dreams, they're going to make it. And actually, a lot of people end up, you know, doing a 9-to-5.
Yeah. And you know what I just heard? It's so funny. Our perception of that life is always glamorous and they're on beaches and drinking cocktails, right? And living this great life. But the reality is, it's like anything else. There has to be effort. And for them to become super successful, right, that memory of remembering your lines, taking, because it is rejection if they don't, and they don't even tell you why you didn't get the part. So it's not like you can reinvent or do something so that the next time you do know what to get the particular spot or whatever. It's just fascinating. So see, here's the thing. The grass, right? You've heard this when you were a child, right? The grass is always greener on the other side. Is it though? Is the grass always greener? I think not. So
I think not.
So it. I love that you said that. That it's like anything else. It's still work. It's still job. It's still effort. Hopefully, though, that you get to do it. If, like you said, you wouldn't trade it. You love what you're doing. But then the flip side is, what do you do to pay bills when those acting gigs aren't coming in? So I know you've become a coach. What led you to choose becoming a coach versus you could have waited on tables, you could have become a bartender, you could have done a number of other things? Why coaching?
Well, when I decided I wanted to become a mum, I was pregnant with my daughter, Katie. So we're talking now over 23 years ago, because she's 23 on Sunday.
Happy
and
birthday.
I was actually, thank you, I was actually working for IKEA. You have IKEA, don't you?
Sure, yes.
I was doing a voiceover. I worked for them year on, year out. I'd maybe do a 5-day stint and I'd be the voiceover for the company in the UK. And basically, I used to love working with the client. We always used to have fun. I used to enjoy the work and I always used to look forward to it. But on this particular occasion, I went in and I was pregnant with my daughter. And looking back on it, it must have been the hormones. But what happened was I experienced this sort of rush of energy. And it was so frightening. I was rendered speechless, which if you're a voiceover artist, is not so good. So in that moment, even though it probably only lasted seconds, I don't know how long, it seemed to be interminable. And it frightened me that much that I thought, oh, my God, I hope that doesn't happen again. And it played on my mind. In fact, I played it over and over in my mind. And I became fearful of it happening again. And then I used to see it happening again before I'd even do a job. So in the end, I just used to suffer from this terrible, terrible anxiety.
Wow.
And I ended up going to a hypnotherapist because I actually thought at one point that I was going to have to give up working. And, you know, that was not what I wanted to do. So I went to see a hypnotherapist, not thinking really anyone could make a difference, because I thought I was the only one, of course, that was having panic attacks. And I went to see her. And after a course of several sessions, I had no longer experienced that. So I was so kind of gobsmacked, actually, that she'd been able to work with me, and that was the result that I thought, oh my goodness, if someone could do that for me, what if I could do that for someone else? Wow. So I trained as a hypnotherapist. And then a bit later on, I found life coaching. And I really like life coaching because with hypnosis, you're offering suggestions. So you're not, apart from maybe going over what it is in the, you know, in the beginning that the person that you, that's come to see you wants to get out of the session, and you coming up with something that's going to actually address what it is that they want, you're actually giving them suggestions. You're giving them instructions really to follow. But with life coaching, as you know, it's about asking great questions so that actually the person finds their own answers, because we all have those answers. It's just uncovering them, isn't it? And it's just sure. being facilitated in a way that you can come up with the outcome. And because it's you've thought of it, you've discovered it, you're much more likely to put that into practice. So I really like that. And then I discovered EFT, which for anybody who doesn't know is... it stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, and it's a very strange looking technique. It involves tapping on specific points. Looks ridiculous, but actually using the tapping and also language, it can completely shift things that are going on unconsciously. And the thing about the brain is that, you know, we function, you know, over 95% probably is unconscious, our behavior. So we need to work with the brain, because actually the brain is in charge. So I really like the fact that EFT is very, very playful. I love to be playful. So I'd use life coaching and EFT, the combination of both, to make suggestions and have the person I was working with become really curious about what might be possible for them.
Yeah, and I've done the EFT, the tapping, and it's not my favorite modality for me personally. You know, like I did acupuncture for, I had surgery and many years ago, and I thought, let me go do acupuncture. It'll help the healing process. And when she put the pins in me, I was totally okay, because it doesn't really hurt. And then she said, okay, I'll be back in a half hour. I almost died. I had a panic attack, and I said, what? And she said, she had music playing. It was lovely. It was a lovely atmosphere. And I said, a half hour. What if I have to scratch my nose? What if I, and of course my nose was itchy at that point. So I had a panic attack. And so, right, it's the opposite when you do acupuncture. And I said, oh no, no, that's much too long. So she said, all right, just breathe. And she said, I'll come back in 10 minutes just to make sure you don't have an itchy nose or something. She must have thought I was a kook, right? And I said, okay, that 10 minutes, that's fine. I said, but you can hear me if I need you sooner. She's like, yes, I can hear you. Because I'm thinking she's going to go down the street, get a cup of coffee for the half hour I'm in there. Did not work for me. And I thought, I can't ever do that again. So I here's the thing of what I'm saying. And this is what I love about you. That not only did you say, yeah, I'm going to do life coaching. You said life coaching is kind of the structure to be able to ask the questions. Because you're right, we all do have answers. And I want to comment on that in a minute. But then you thought, I like that modality of the hypnosis. I love that modality of the tapping. So depending on who's in front of you, right? Your job as a life coach, we're not cookie cutter, right? We're humans. So your job is to navigate or help us navigate and find what's going to work for us. So that's just fascinating. And I do love hypnosis. I've been hypnotized several times for different reasons, like you said, where I knew the answers, they were just buried so deeply that it's hard to, it's not like at the top of our brain that we're like, oh yeah, I know what's holding me back. Oh yeah, I know where the energy block is. We don't. And that's where the hypnosis comes through. And the other thing I just want to comment, everybody's going, hypnosis, she makes us cluck like a chicken.
That's not it. No. Yeah. So for those people that don't know, that's stage hypnosis. So that's all about making people look ridiculous. So it's all about the people that are suggestible will cluck like a chicken. But actually, hypnosis is a very, very different thing. It's just about, you know, offering suggestions that can have the brain think about something else that might lead that person to having the result that they want rather than...
Yeah, hypnosis really just changes the vibration in the brain, right? The beta and all of that stuff, so that it allows it to... dig deep into memories and feelings, past lives, whatever it is, depending on what regression or what hypnosis you're doing. But it is fascinating. And the funny thing is, I do want to just share, Julie, for me, every time I've been, you know, put under hypnosis, you know, I heard the person's air conditioning going. I felt the blanket on me. You know, she sneezed. I heard it. It's not like you're, you know, in the atmosphere out of your body. You're highly aware of your surroundings. You're just in this very meditative, wonderful state where you're able to dig deep. The other thing you said about people having answers. And I do believe that. We do have the answers. I think, Julie, and this is why I love what you do and why I think what you do for a living is commendable, because we all of us do not know how to tap into that. And really all we need is a guide, because, and I'm taking a class at night to read the Akashic Records. And we did it, we do it every Monday night. So the woman who's teaching Deanne, she's out of BC, Canada. And last week, she helped us do this meditation to get into our own records. And then, you know, we asked our questions, et cetera. And for me, her guiding us, I was successful. When I try to do it on my own, I'm not as successful yet. And this is why I want everybody to really hear this, why I love what Julie's doing, because she brings in these different modalities, because we are not cookie cutter. Two of the people, there's about 20 of us, two of the people said it was the most distracting thing and they weren't able to get into their records. They're more advanced than me. I will admit that. Okay. But for me, I said, if you didn't guide me, I would have been twiddling my thumbs. So I, again, what you're doing by asking those questions and you get people to go deeper into their own subconscious, the answers are there. We just need help pulling them out. And that's your zone of genius, which I just love. So when people hear life coaching, they go, what a bunch of crap. It's not. And the other thing I want to comment on for you specifically is, you've lived, right? You're not 20 years old saying I'm a life coach. I don't know whether I would buy into you being a life coach if you were 20, because what, you know, maybe you do have past lives. I don't know enough about it, right? Because I'm not a life coach. But not, you had like that panic attack when you were pregnant. You know, was it hormonal? What else was you? You've lived and you've had to live through hardship. So as a life coach, I think you come to the table with a tremendous amount of compassion as well. So I think that's another important element that's priceless, that we can't say, oh, she's got a certification. Yeah, that's great. But you have a certification of life, which is, I think, that priceless commodity that you bring to the table, right?
Yeah, and I think also it's not about fixing someone. You know, I know that you continuously develop yourself. You know, as human beings, stuff happens to us. You know, we get challenged every single day. It's about how are we going to be about the challenge that we face.
Absolutely.
And it really works to grow, to be curious about life, to be curious about people, to be curious about how we can, if we can't do something right now, how we can find a way to do that thing. How we can find a way to have more joy, whatever it is. I think that we're constantly evolving. And when we stop thinking that, you know, if you think we're okay, everything's all right, we don't need anything else, actually we're missing something. We're really missing something, because our mind is vast and we're capable of so much.
Yeah, and it's funny, because my husband and I were both on the same page with that, you know, where we watch documentaries about spirituality. We read constantly. We do these classes, right? We're constantly curious. And it's so funny, because when I feel I'm not being enlightened, in an enlightened state, right, where you don't feel abundance and you're like, why me, right? We all go through it because we're human, right? Right? We're the spiritual people in this human form. And I oftentimes giggle with my husband. I said, and we're enlightened and we're messed up. Can you imagine? You know, maybe ignorance really is bliss, right? And we just kind of giggle about it. But I wouldn't want to be, I don't ever want to have blinders on. And I love the word curiosity. And I am really curious about life, curious about like what people do with the EFT. So whenever I go, I've never heard that, like muscle testing. I was curious about that. So I did a couple of different sessions with different people with muscle testing. Another fascinating way that, and then you're taught how you can muscle test to see if things are right or wrong for you at that moment. So it's just fascinating, all these different modalities that are out there. What would you say personally? Because life is priceless, right? Living life is a priceless gift. Whether we see it as a gift or not is another whole conversation, probably another whole show. But what have you had to overcome in your life? And based on that, what are your some of your biggest lessons just as a human?
I think really the biggest thing is coming up with giving up the notion that that I'm not enough, and being okay with me. That's the thing, growing into myself. So when I was about 5 years old, I developed warts. Now a lot of children have warts. It's, you know, it's what happens. But actually, my hands were literally covered in warts.
Wow.
So in the playground, no one wanted to hold hands with me. And looking back, I can absolutely understand why. But at 5 years old, that happening, I made a decision, albeit unconscious. And that decision was, you know, no one liked me. I was different and I'd absolutely never fit in. And even though that was an unconscious thing because of that experience, then, you know, more experiences happened, which reaffirmed, absolutely, I wasn't going to fit in. But then, of course, I was kind of looking for that anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so most of my life, especially as, you know, I had a talent as an actor, and of course, that's all about playing somebody else, being someone else. So I felt that actually I could be far more interesting being another character, hiding behind a script. So it all fitted in with, you know, I didn't fit in anyway, so at least I could fit in with my acting work. You know, it was okay for me to be different in that realm. But, you know, this is the belief that I, you know, like you said, you know, sometimes we have good days and bad days. Sometimes we have a thought that doesn't serve us. You know, that's what happens because we are human. And sometimes I have that thought that pops up, but now I become conscious of it.
Sure.
I have that thought, oh, I don't fit in, or I'm just a bit weird, or whatever, whatever I say, whatever that thought is. So I've grown up feeling like I wasn't enough. And I think actually that's a very common thing. People mostly feel they're not good enough, they're not worthy, they're not lovable, or something worse to that effect.
Absolutely.
Something similar, but not worthy. And so it's taken a very long time. My mother actually said that I was a very slow starter. I took that and I believed her. So all my life, things have been slow. It's taken me a long time to do anything. And maybe that's the reason why it's taken me a long time. I'm actually 63 on Sunday.
Oh, happy birthday. Oh, you have the same birthday as your daughter.
No. She was born on my 40th. Absolutely. And I thought I was going to have a party, Connie, and a baby. But there you go. So, yeah, it's taken me a long time to really grow into myself. And I think the biggest shift has been actually when I started my own business, which you mentioned that I started about nine years ago. But I think the things that I've learned is be yourself. You know, otherwise you'll just be a poor second. Everyone else is taken. Be the best version of yourself. It's okay to be different. I know when we're young, we want to fit in. We do want to be part of some sort of tribe, don't we? Always.
Absolutely.
We want to be around like-minded people. And when we're younger, it's really, really important that we fit in. And when we don't, that's a problem. But actually, being different, as you know, because you are different, and I love you for it, is the biggest gift, really, to own it. And I guess it's constantly discovering, well, who am I then? Who am I? If I'm not that, then who am I? So, yeah. And so when I found a tribe that actually, A, could accept me for who I am, but also could see me bigger than I could see myself.
Sure.
That's when I felt at home.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because, you know, I remember when I was a kid, there was a couple of things in high school. You know, my dad, it was from Italy, born in Italy. So very strict household, just typical Italian. So I was not allowed to wear any makeup or date in high school. So, okay, right. That's the rule of the house, whatever. So I never wore makeup. And I remember my junior year was coming into, I could picture it like it was yesterday, walking into a science class and, you know, some of my friends, and I did that in air quotes for those of you that are listening audio, right? Air quote friends. And one of the women, young ladies, whatever, she says, oh, poor Connie, my maiden name is Frega. Poor Connie Frega. No one's going to ask her to the prom. She's so ugly. And the other thing, the other byproduct of that is we did not have, I grew up in a very affluent town because the education system was good. So my parents gave a lot for us to live there, right? What I realize now what they must have sacrificed for us to get this great education, right? What a blessing. So we shopped at Kmart, where these, you know, the affluent town, they lived in huge houses and they shopped at Lord and Taylor. So already, right, that comparaphobia as a high school student, 13 years old, 14 years old. And I remember walking in and hearing that. Of course, I was crushed. And I did go to my junior prom. So everybody's like, did you go to your junior prom? Yes, I went to my junior prom with a friend because I wasn't allowed to date. And I respected my parents. I wasn't going to betray that, right? So, because I was a good girl, again, in air quotes, you know, good Catholic girl. But I will tell you, that has played on me. I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. Who's going to want me? So now just fast forward. I want to put an ending to this story. My kids played hockey growing up. So now I'm in my, you know, 40s, mid-40s. And we're at the hockey rink, and this woman walks up to me. It was this person. And she says, oh, so good to see you. Funny enough, complaining about her life. Now, I haven't seen this woman in like 30 years, right? Complaining about her life, how she hated hockey, and it took up so much of her time. And my husband and I, he was one of the bench coaches. We lived and breathed hockey because to see your kids doing something they loved and they were good at, to me, it was like, this is the best ever, right? So here I have all of this gratitude. She was complaining and she walks away and my husband goes, who is that? Now he knew the story and I go, that's the girl who told me I was, you know, I overheard I was ugly and no one. And he, you gotta love my husband, Julie, he said, she looks like an old witch. She's your age? And I said, yes. Yeah. He goes, she looks like she's 60 years old. The poor thing looks very weathered. And wow, what a toxic personality. And in that moment, I go, well, you love me. That's why you're saying. He goes, no, I'm being honest. She looks like the Wicked Witch of the West. So I cracked up because in that moment, I thought, time does vindicate, doesn't it? But here's the thing. What, as soon as I saw her, Julie, where did I go? I was 13 years old, 14 years old again, right? I was the ugly duckling. So we harbor these feelings and it takes a lot of work to undo the warts on the hand, right? That you're slow. All of these things subconsciously that we bury, we need to unbury them and really have an adult perspective on them because it's BS, right? It's all bullshit that we tell ourselves. So we have to kind of undo that work. So yeah, I love that story about the warts because that's so darn visible too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think one of the things to say is that it's really important that we mind our mind and we actually are conscious of what we're saying because we can do enormous harm, sometimes unconsciously. So I think the older we get, perhaps we become more conscious, I don't know, but I think that's really important. The other thing is, I think that even though what she said completely devastated you, and you obviously spent years, and like you say, sometimes you still have that kind of little voice, actually, I think that people are their ugliest, which clearly she was at the time in terms of what she was saying, when they're crying out for attention.
Absolutely.
And she wasn't getting what she needed. And it's not like that's an excuse, but I think it's important for us all to remember that when people say stuff, they've got their own stuff going on.
Yeah. And as a kid, though, we don't always realize that. So that's why the work you do is critical, because it lets us go back in time, address that emotional response to somebody else's crap, because she had her own crap, her own insecurities, right? So let me thrust out at someone that she felt was beneath her. And here, fast forward a lifetime later, who's really beneath who? And again, I send love and light to this person all the time because I feel that she was an emotional wreck, right? Where I had done a lot of that inner work myself and create joy and happiness in my marriage and my kids and life and all of that. Like, I have a joyous life. And I own that and I'm proud of that. But what other alternative is there to live life in misery? Thanks, but no thanks. I'll pass, right?
So people do all the time. You know, people complain about their boss and then when they're offered redundancy, they're scared and they're you know, wishing they had their job. You know, it's crazy.
It's fear. Yeah, life is fear-based a lot. I do find that. And I think we have to become fearless. And guys listening, Julie and I don't think that's easy stuff. Like she said, you know, the warts on the hands, I'm the ugly duckling. All of the, you know, I'm 5'11". I don't know if everybody knows that. But, you know, I was always taller than all the guys in high school. So who would have won? And so you look for the recording, you look for the proof. Nobody would have asked me out. I was taller than most of the guys in high school, right? Because I was a ginormous person. person. So yeah, all of these things play on our inner psyche. So tell me two things, because we're almost out of time, but I do want two things. One, why do you love doing what you're doing, number one, or what do you love most about it? And the second thing is, can you weave some tips for people who are lacking confidence, who are maybe feeling stuck or feeling like there's got to be more than this? What would you do and how would you help them? That maybe that's the better question.
So going back to confidence, and right at the beginning of the show, you shared that brilliant
Dale
tip about confidence. So yes, I think people who say they're shy or they're not confident are either speaking that into the ether, telling people that they're not, or they are saying it over and over in their head. And as I said with my story about, I hope this doesn't happen, then it starts to happen. Yeah. What we focus on, what we think about, we actually bring about. So whatever we focus on, whether it's lack of money or lack of love, that thing will expand. That will be all there is. It's like looking at this analogy of looking at a pile of shit through a straw. It's you know, that's all you see, you know. And
that's a good one. I'm just thinking of the poop emoji.
So it's really important to be thinking about, like you said, you know, thinking about what brings you joy and doing the things that make you confident, hanging around people that are more confident than you, that see you as bigger than you might believe that you are right now. And also reading books, you know, reading stuff, yes, from people who have, maybe they were shy once and then they became confident, and really talking about it actually, and being curious about what it might be if you were confident. How would you be sounding? What might you be doing that you're not doing now? What would your posture be like? It's about developing new confident habits. So instead of saying, I can't do that, maybe it's about saying, well, what if I can? Or what would a confident person do? How could I be? And kind of imagine, play with that a little bit. Yeah. Developing healthy habits. It's all about habits, isn't it, Connie?
Yeah, and I love how you said, mind your mind.
Yeah.
Right? That's really the long and short of it. That's what we do. Talk to me about, because I know you have a workshop coming out, so talk about the 5-day challenge and what people can expect to learn and help them maybe this is a good starting point for them to build those really good habits, right?
So I am running a free 5-day challenge, which will start on the 24th of May. And it's called Stop Saying Yes When You Want to Say No. 5-day challenge. So it's all about looking at what we say yes to when really we don't want to do that thing. And let's face it, you know, we've only got 24 hours a day. We want to have a life that works and be doing things that bring us joy. Yeah. So sometimes we give away our power by saying yes to stuff that actually doesn't work. So the challenge is all about basically counting how many times you say yes during the day, and then looking at the reasons why you say yes. Mm. What's the payoff? What's the cost? And then by the end of it, starting to practice saying no powerfully. There'll also be a Facebook group, so people can, they'll be sent a video each day with a very short task, and once they do that, they then feed back into the Facebook group, into this supportive community of people doing exactly the same thing, and then there'll be prizes as well. And then I'm also developing self-confidence formula, 6 steps to be unapologetically you, and that will include hypnosis, EFT, life coaching, and it's all about being unapologetically you. So it's not about being perfect. There's no such thing anyway. It's about becoming the best you can be, because that's all we can do.
And I love that. And you know, we have one shot, man. This is one lifetime that we're living here. So if you don't put it all out there, right, play full out, like, why not? I don't understand that, because we have this lifetime, right? And it is finite, lifetime, right? Death is imminent for all of us. And the other thing you just said with the challenge that I'm intrigued is how many times a day do we say yes? Not that yes is a bad word. That's good, right? If you're doing things that truly bring you joy, growth, grow your business, whatever it is. But if you're saying yes out of guilt and obligation, what happens is you're draining your energy, and energy is like money. It's an exchange of energy. So if you're giving your energy away to help others and not doing anything for self, and I'm not saying be selfish, right, Julie? That's not what we're saying. Don't be selfish, but you can't tap into all your energy and give it away with no value at the end for you, because, you know, we grow together, right? The tide rises. Well, the ships rise with the tide. And wouldn't it be great if we could find the people that we could rise together and share equally through love and care and respect and all of those things, right? That's really what we're talking about, to say yes to that environment, not to people who are just, you know, vampires, energy vampires, where they're sucking the life out of you. That's what we're talking about.
Absolutely. And I think it's all about nourishing ourselves. Yeah. But when we're nourished, when we're filled up, we can give more, have more, be more, do more. You know, it's all there for us. So yeah, let's live a great life, like you say.
I love it. I love it. Julie is going to keep me posted, guys. So I can't put the link in the show notes, but I will. You guys are following me on LinkedIn or Facebook, or if you're on my email list, Julie's going to send me those links, because I'd like to be part of that challenge as well. So it'd be kind of fun if we could all play together, right, and learn from each other. Wow. That to me is where the magic happens. So that would be kind of cool. So more to come on that, I promise. In the meantime, Julie has a free gift. If you'd like to email Julie for specific information, questions, connect with her, please do that. It's Julie Mann Biz. So JuliMannBiz at gmail.com. Julie Mann Biz. I will post that in the show notes. Also, she has a free gift, and she has a bit.ly little micro thingy, but it's Stress Buster MP3 and bit.ly in the front. I too will post that on the link for your free gift as well, because, you know, Julie's all about relieving stress, especially going through that experience when you were pregnant with that panic attack, ironically, with something you did for a living, like, holy crap, right? I'm losing my income. I'm having this baby. Talk about stress. Panic attacks are real. So the Stress Buster MP3 is her gift to you for listening to the show. And I love giving free gifts away. Julie, thank you for being on. I love you, my friend. I love you, love you, love you. I can't wait to do your challenge in May. And yeah, just thanks for being on. Thanks for great information and sharing the strategies of start loving yourself by doing these little micro habits, right? That's really what we're talking about, right? Watch how many times you say yes, all of these other things, and more to come on the challenge, where Julie will be teaching us every day different things that we can implement to create the change, lifelong changes in that little 5-day time span. So thank you so much for being on and sharing your genius with us.
Thank you. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Always fun to hang out with my friends across the pond. I love you, my friend. Stay well and happy. Thank you for being on. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change you're going through, my guests and I, we've got you. We've got your back. We're going to help you navigate. We're going to create those different challenges, strategies, tips. Do something different today. Maybe just start paying attention to your yeses, so that when you get on the challenge, you'll be that much further ahead of creating these really good habits. Okay? Confidence. Be confident in yourself. And remember, others that are throwing their crap at you, make sure you know it's their crap and not yours, right? And own your own brilliance, because we are all here with some level of brilliance. So own it, be it, live it, and be the best you can be. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I thank you all for being listening to the show and joining us. I wish you all a wonderful week, and I truly am honored to have you on this journey with me as we uncover change and make it so much easier than we all think it is. I wish you all a blessed week. Have a great one, everybody. Thanks.